Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome to the Real Life of Nisha D. And I am your host, Nisha D. Welcome back, my beautiful sister.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
How are you, my love?
You know, I am good. I have been quarantined for a little less than a week. I had to take the COVID test because I was showing symptoms and it came back negative. So I was just like, you know what? Yeah.
Yeah, it's best to be on the safe side. People really don't believe, especially our people, they really don't believe in getting the vaccine. Mm-hmm. They don't believe that the COVID is real. And I was one of those people, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because I'm very in tune with the universe, but also mm-hmm. I know that the physics of law give gravity,
mm-hmm.
and it humbles us all. So
right.
I tested positive for COVID back mm-hmm. in March.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh my God. And it's real because I had two exes that died, passed mm-hmm. away of COVID. And
right.
I am halfway vaccinated. I have one more shot to go and I'll be fully vaccinated.
Did you have to wait the 3 months after you had COVID in order to get your vaccine?
Yes. I got it. I got my my vaccine back in the beginning of this month.
Mm-hmm.
And so I go next month, which is the second, to get my second vaccination. But it's very important
mm-hmm.
because I really want our people to know that we eat food. We really don't know that it's food, right? We
mm-hmm.
we drink, we put things in our bodies, and
mm-hmm.
we really don't know what we're actually drinking.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, I'm not here to preach and tell someone
mm-hmm.
to get vaccinated, but it's a scary world out there. And if you know the universe of God, then you know you are covered.
Right. You know, it's funny because I don't believe in vaccines other than the ones that we had to get when we were kids. And of
right.
course, because I was raised in another country, I didn't get all the vaccines. So when I came back to the United States, I had to get like all these shots. And my dad, of course, was Rasta. He didn't believe in any of these things. He thinks that it's one, we don't know how it would react to each individual. We kind of go off of a base. And so when it comes to this vaccine, it's like I watch a TV commercial and McDonald's, Burger King, and Taco Bell all have rappers or some person in the performing arts that's actually selling it and having a meal named after them. And it almost feels as if they're giving it out so quickly. I understand that technology and, you know, science have advanced exponentially. However, American history, especially as it pertains to Blacks, has never been in favor of us. We talk about Tuskegee Airmen. We talk about what happened with all of these vaccinations. We talk about the reason why AIDS and HIV actually exist. It was because they wanted to inoculate the African people. That's why they started it there. So they didn't expect the jump to white America having it. So they're like, oh crap, this got out of hand. So my trust issues come from that. When it comes to COVID, my daughter, I have a 23-year-old, and she is my daughter through a previous marriage. And she had her vaccine, and she had it in February. She hasn't seen her period since. So we have this thing where we know that they feel like the population of the globe is too much. So back in the 90s, we had almost 5 billion people on this planet. Fast forward to 2021 and we have a little over 8 billion people. So you're like, there is something underlining with it, because they're not giving you a vaccine, Kenesha, for HIV. They're not giving you a vaccine for AIDS. They're not giving you a vaccine that prevents cancer, other than the pneumococcal, right? Or the, not the meningitis, the other one for the, I guess when you have like a sexually transmitted disease, and it can develop into cancer. So they give you something that's preventative.
Human papillomavirus.
Right. So they give you your first shot at 11, and then they give you the other one at 12. So I understand that, but this to me seems so fast forward and so quick that usually we had to play in dirt in order to build up our immunities. But this one is telling you to take it. And the way how they're saying it now is that if you don't take it, you'll be outlawed. And if you do take it, you'll be a part of the masses that were easily accepting of this. There's so many of us that do have trust issues. So we don't do that.
Mm-hmm. I was one of those people. Like I said before, I am a researcher. Mm-hmm. I research everything.
Right.
And I researched everything. And like I said before, I had COVID. And mm-hmm. it took me a whole year to be convinced about this shot.
Right.
When it was still newly developed. But because I know God, and because I was one of the lucky ones
mm-hmm.
that survived COVID, my whole house had it.
Mm-hmm.
My daughter, my sister, we all had it. And mm-hmm. we were the lucky ones. We were what they considered asymptomatic.
Asymptomatic, yeah.
Yeah, we were asymptomatic. And mm-hmm. I prayed and I said, God, you know,
mm-hmm.
whatever's meant to be is going to be. And that's the rule of law, basically.
Right.
Whatever is meant to be is going to be. I mean, you can walk outside and get hit by a car. You know, it's, mm-hmm. it is what it is with it. But for me, I took it upon myself to do my research. Mm-hmm. I prayed about it. I talked to the universal God about it. I went mm-hmm. into deep prayer about it. And I said, okay, God, I'm going to take it. And so I did. And I understand the history of the Tuskegee Airmen. I understand how in 1942, they took... the first cancer patient was an African-American woman.
Yes.
They took mm-hmm. her organs and they did all this research and without telling her parent, without mm-hmm. telling her relatives and all this. I understand that. But I mm-hmm. said, okay, God, I'm going to trust you, God. And so right. I did. And, you know, and like I tell people, I'm not here to preach anything to anyone. Mm-hmm. I've never been an oppressor. I've been willing right. to be, you know, I'm open-minded. So I just did something that was good, you know, that I felt that was beneficial for me. I lost someone. I lost two mm-hmm. men.
Mm-hmm.
My ex fellow who I was with years ago, mm-hmm. he died of COVID. And this mm-hmm. guy I dated, he died of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And it really like, and he was one of those people like Shelby and I would have these conversations. We would talk about God. And mm-hmm. about God's plans and about how population control is real, because that's mm-hmm. why I did all these manufactured hurricanes and earthquakes in Haiti. Is, you know, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And we would talk about that, but he said he would never get it. And he got COVID, called me a few days before he was dying. And mm-hmm. I couldn't look at him like that because I seen death upon his face.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's just one of those things. It's damn if you do, damn if you don't. But mm-hmm. when you're walking with God and mm-hmm. you're praying and you're doing what's right by the law of physics, which I always say the law of physics is God.
Mm-hmm.
You just take a deep breath. You inhale, then you right. exhale. You mm-hmm. live to another day.
Right.
And that's all we can do.
Yeah. Absolutely. And I totally am for that. I feel like if that's something that you feel comfortable doing, by all means, do it.
That's right.
If it's something that you do not feel comfortable doing,
don't.
You don't have to. And yes, I do know what's in the food that we eat. That's why I don't eat it.
That's right.
So I have been plant-based for going on 6 years. And I would rather grow my things. I don't eat a fruit that doesn't have a seed.
Bananas. My daughter doesn't either. We had this conversation in Kroger's, and I'm slowly getting toward it, you know? Mm-hmm. It's not an overnight thing, but she went...
But that vaccine was an overnight thing?
No, it wasn't an overnight thing. Mm-hmm. It just happened, but I do eat healthy. Like, I eat my greens. I eat my fruits with seeds, like my apples and my melons. You know, melons are very important. You know, I drink my alkaline water. I can't really do too much of any physical workout because I'm about to have surgery on my neck on the 15th because of this car wreck I was in.
So you have a nerve that's pinched.
Yeah, and they gotta go in, and I say once they're done, I'll be bionic woman because you know, I had some torn stuff in my left shoulder, which is hard for me to like carry anything heavy. And then of course my ankle is all out of whack, but because I'm a fashion diva and I love fashion, and I think I'd be looking cute in heels, I don't do myself justice with my ankle. So
yeah, you have to take care of your body. You really only get one.
That's
there's no replacement. It's just like our teeth. We get those when those milk teeth fall out, those last set, that's all we have. So yeah, you definitely have to take care of your body. Also stock up on your vitamins, you know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, I'm taking like black sea moss. I take that faithfully every single day.
I actually just made some, and I mixed it with bladderwrack. So I usually buy mine dried and I prepare it at home because you get so much out of it. I pay $40 for a pound, right? And I use about 4 ounces, a little less than 4 ounces, and I make about, let's see, 12 to 24. I make 48 ounces out of that, which lasts me more than a month. But I realize that my system needs to purge a lot of things, and I can start to free my mind, but if my body still feels connected to something that I need to let go of, I need to get that into my system. So the bladderwrack, is the health benefits of it is absolutely amazing. It helps because the sea moss has 92 of the minerals that you need, and with bladderwrack it aids in giving you 102, so it gives you that 10 more added that you need. So your body needs that in order to sustain itself. But we have to start doing work.
I take it every day. The sea moss has the bladderwrack in it. I got it off of Amazon, and I take the capsules, and I take it every day, every day faithfully. I've been taking it every day. And thank God, like I said, you know, I feel a difference in my body. Even much when I'm looking in the mirror, I say, okay, girl, I see your stomach trying to go down, right? Okay.
Let it go. Let it go.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, you know, and then you said something very important.
Away from you.
Yes, and I you said something very important about detoxing. Today makes day, I want to say, fourth day maybe, or maybe it could be the fifth day of me without coffee. I needed to cleanse my soul. I needed to cleanse my soul because my spirit was holding on to something that I know that is not good for my spirit and is not good for my soul. And I'm like, I know that in order, I needed to give up something that I loved, that I had every single day.
Right.
Coffee. Every morning, a large cup of coffee. Every morning. So, to give that up because let me tell you, and then we'll get into our topic of this love draw. Why do men jump into relationships or bother healed women when they're not healed, period? As doing so, as me letting go of coffee, God revealed something to me this morning. You know, I was looking at someone. Someone had this little thing, a function. Mm-hmm. And it was someone that I allowed back into my life for a reason in a season. Mm-hmm. I don't know why that I did, but it happened. Mm-hmm. And I've seen this person with this woman. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, and this person has been so careful not to reveal who this person
that
is.
Person.
That I knew for a fact that it had to be somebody else for you to change up midair. And I'm like, God, look at God. I'm like, look at God. You know, you let go of something, and God's showing you, okay, now it's no need for you to continue to keep having hope in someone that truly respected you as a source of a healing power, a healing mechanism. These broken men, they come into your life and they pretend to be whole, and they pretend that they want something. But really what they want is just sex. And then when they get that, and then they go on to someone else whom they assume that is better than you. But you know, whatever man sow, so shall he reap.
Right.
That's it. It's so funny.
Oh my God. Letting go and men and their trauma and not even allowing themselves to heal. You know, 90% of them don't even realize that they need to heal. So you're stuck there, and they're down that river called denial. And you know, it's so funny because there are women like that, but it's not about them today.
No,
I think my son's school is calling me, but that's okay. It just seems like, you know, you make this preparation, and I prep myself before I heal, because I'm trying to heal after healing. And so well, I healed so well that I was able to bring someone into my bubble. And my mentality was that they're completely healed. However, they started to come out at the seams. You knew that there was something, because I'm never wrong with a vibe. I'm never wrong. And
I got chills. Oh my God.
There's something. You can tell that there was something off. And you kind of start to have that slow letdown, as if you're saying to yourself, this is going to end horribly, because I've completely in my soul started to invest in the person in my life. And you know, I kind of knew that the rug would be pulled from underneath me, and then I started to let go, but not before I had like an emotional break, you know what I mean? Because I was doing so well. I was in my own little world. No one can literally tap on the window and I will not hear anyone. And this person I heard, you know what I mean? And, but I knew through conversations and just little slips that they weren't over the person that they walked away from. And so I had to start telling myself that I'm not the one, but he got my heart. And that, I remember it.
Can you say that again? Because I'm going to touch on that. Say that one more time for them to truly. Listening audience, please listen. Listen with clarity as she say this, because I want you all to manifest what she's saying. I don't want you to manifest it in the physical realm, but in the spiritual realm. I need you all to process this in that spiritual realm, because it's something totally different, and she's hitting on something. You all need to adhere to this, because this is some healing that she's giving you all, that there's a message within the message. Please listen. Go ahead, my love.
So as I was saying about the fact that I completely invested in this person, and I knew it was too late for me to turn back, because he literally had a hold on my heart, my soul, and he had no idea, because he was still hung up on the person that he walked away from, that I became that person who he was trying to forget that person with. And as I made myself known, as I purged myself, and because I never hold how I feel for a person in, because, you know, I lived in New York. I've lost plenty of friends, and I did not get to tell them bye. So as I got older, I realized that I have to tell people exactly how I feel. And this was, you know, our relationship was new, but as quick as it happened, it's as quick as it ended, because he said, "I'm all in," but you felt that they weren't, because they were still hung up on this one person. And so as I let my guard down, and I started to just pull these bricks from around me down to let this person in, they said, "You know what? Nah, I really love this person. I'm gonna go with that person." Meanwhile, I literally gave my heart to that person.
For free.
For free. Me thinking that I was gonna get it taken care of. Like, this person was healed. They went through some things. I understand that we all go through shit. But then I realized, oh no. He's not healed. He hasn't even acknowledged that he needs this time to actually heal. Now, if that person needed that time to heal, I would have left it alone. Tell me up front. But then they're in denial that they need to be healed. They need to heal themselves. So they just go from one to the next, and whatever doesn't fit, they'll go back and try the old one out to see if it fits. And so they leave someone who was completely healed. And now I've become undone, because I thought that this was cool. This what we had was amazing. But then I didn't realize that I was literally just the person he was with, to forget about the person that he wanted the most.
You know what, my beautiful sister?
Mm-hmm.
I can recognize, and I feel your energy, and I feel your hurt, and I feel your sorrow, but I also feel your acknowledgement of it.
Because mm-hmm.
too, like I said before, there was someone that I loved since I was 15 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And this man has always had my heart,
right.
Always. But each time, and this is the power of the universe, because the universe has have to sit us down, because we want something so bad,
mm-hmm.
and we desire it so bad, and we think, right, that this time around, this mm-hmm. Will be it. You know, he hurt me in school by dating I walked away from him, because mm-hmm. I was the girlfriend that always looked out for him, and because I loved him, and mm-hmm. I wanted him to do good in life, and I seen his potential, I seen his heart through a blindfold, right. But he ended up getting my ex-best friend pregnant,
mm.
and she did something that was ungodly with the child. Mm-hmm. Same time around, couple of years later, we meet up, and mm-hmm. you know, he's a little older, but he's still mm-hmm. the same person. My heart still beats for him as I look, right, as that night we were at my cousin's house, and you know, this is the man that I love. But each time I'm as I sit there, Now think about it. This man never loved me. It was just me loving him. It was me sowing right. love into him. And sometimes, you know, we're the seed planter. We plant the seeds so we can nourish. And it doesn't even be for us. It's for someone else, because they take right. the same water that you pour into that plant and they take it and feed someone else instead of feeding you.
Right. Yeah.
And it's so, you know, years later, we stay in contact, and he's going through whatever he's going through. I'm going through what I'm going through, but I'm on the phone with him at night and I'm talking to him while he's going through his stuff. A couple of years ago, he asked me to fly out to California. I'm like, okay. I said, but if I fly out to California, because you're asking me to fly out, then you should pay for the ticket and I'll pay for everything else. We'll be good.
Right.
He was like, no, you can know. You asked me to come out there. Well, lo and behold, 2 weeks later, he ended up marrying someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, okay, well, here's another slap in my face. Like, you know, bam, like, there you go again, right? Okay.
Right.
Then this year rolls around, come back into my life, and we talk about growing and building. And, you know, and in my mind, I'm thinking he's wiser now, right?
Yeah.
He's wiser. He's healed. He's wiser. And we're talking about, you know, I'm of course I'm invested, because I'm a black woman, and black women are on their shit, right? We make sure we handle our business, right? 98% of us does, but the other 2%, you know, still finding themselves. Things are, you know, he's coming over my house and we're talking. One thing leads to another. We're intimate, you know, and we're intimate again. Then, you know, we're seeing each other. You know, he's coming at night. I'm like, okay, because, you know, he's hanging out with his boys or whatever. And then he come, okay. Then, you know, and I get to fall in for him again, because, you know, when the thing is, when you love someone and when you truly love someone, you just don't close that door, because that door is not closed. Because if you love them from a genuine place, it's love.
Right.
This man stopped communicating with me. He stopped calling me. If I didn't reply, if I didn't send a text or something, or a call, I didn't hear from him. You know, he asked me to buy him some expensive glasses, and I did. And I also bought a watch, because it was because I know everything that he'd been through, and I was like, you deserve something good. Because I wanted him to know that I don't need anything from you, right? I just need you to be honest and whole with me. But he wasn't. He was broken. Like, he was really broken. And and because he was broken and he wasn't healed, he broke me down again. He broke me back down to that 15-year-old girl again. That's a hurtful feeling. When you go back, when you heal from something and you allow somebody to come back in and they take you right back to where they left you.
You know, it's so weird, because I've always been that person that I remember how I felt in those moments when my heart broke, each time it has. So I genuinely love the people I allow into my space, mentally, physically. So it's a genuine feeling. However, they only get one time to do that, and never again. Because I am that person that goes, the way how my brain is, it remembers. And you know, there's a saying that a zebra never changes its stripes. And we have to look at people, and there are characteristics about people that will never change. So you, it can, oh my gosh, it can be so heartbreaking, because you don't expect your heart to be broken, right? Because you've healed yourself to the point where you say, I can tell the signs, but sometimes by the time you tell the signs, you start to tell the signs, you have already given that person your heart. And then you're like, fudge, right? I dated this guy briefly a few years ago, and it was really petty what happened. I realized that he was a genuine asshole, and he ended up stealing my food out of my car. And the funny thing is, yes, he stole food out of my car.
Wow.
And he was, it's funny enough, because I actually made that very same meal today because it's one of my favorites. And so it made me chuckle because he got so upset when I said, hey, did you take my food out of my car when you were leaving? And he goes, yeah, I figured that you can make some more. And I told him, I said, hey, you do realize when I told you the reason why the food was there is because I will be working all day tomorrow and I don't have time to make anything for myself. So you basically took something that could sustain me during the day and just thought, oh no, she can cook, she makes some more. You didn't even think about me in that moment. You saw the food and you wanted it and you took it. You didn't even say, nah, I'm gonna leave that. You know what I'm saying? She has things she needs to do, you know, tomorrow. She can actually, you know, get, that would be her meal, no problem. With his 43-year-old mind, he was acting like a child of 4 years old when he took someone's property and thought, they can get it again, so why should I worry? So I actually said this to him and I said, you know what? I'm good. And I left it at that. 6 months later, he texts me from a different number because at this point, his number was no longer in my phone. And I said, who is this? And he told me who it was. I never responded. Then he messaged me on Facebook Messenger and proceeded to curse me out and tell me how petty I was. And I said, bet, no problem. He unfriended me and we never spoke again. And I said, you know what? Just to make sure that he never messages me again, I'm going to block him. And I did. 2 days ago, Kenesha, somebody sent me a message and says, I have no idea how we're no longer friends. And I look at the name and I go, shit, really?
The devil stay busy, doesn't it?
I said, really? So I said like this, oh, ah, block. Oh, ah. What we're not going to do right now is go down memory lane because my memories are not good when it pertains to that person. But I, you know, it's so weird how I'm in this week alone, I have been preparing myself to heal myself because I now have to go around and pick up the pieces, metaphorically, pick up the pieces because it's like, two siblings fighting over something and it's in glass and the other one drops it because the other one starts crying and say, I want it the most, I want it the most. And the other child drops it on the floor to spite the other child. So none of them could have it. And that's how my energy felt. That's how my heart felt. That's how my soul felt.
That's a very powerful analysis.
Yeah. So I have to prepare myself. I can't just say, okay, today I'm going to heal. No, I have to gather myself. So I made my CMOS because I haven't had it in about 7 months. like the last time I was in New Jersey. And, you know, I realized that I wasn't centered anymore. Not only wasn't I centered, but I was broken again. And I'm like, how did it happen? I know how it happened, but how did I allow it, knowing that there were signs that this person needed to heal?
And I think with being the healer that
we attract them.
We attract broken things and broken people.
But we feel like we can make them whole.
Yeah, we feel that we can make them whole.
Yeah, they can see that they're whole now. And it will make them, I don't know. I never want to force anyone to be with me. Oh God, no. No. I actually prefer my little bubble. I really do.
It's peaceful in that bubble.
It's peaceful and no one is in my bubble to harm me. Right. There's no one here to harm me. And so now I have to gather my soul, my heart, my feelings, my energy, and everything. And I have to make sure that I get up every little piece. And then I start to build my bricks. Because I can't leave anything out of me. I have to take it all in before I close myself off. Because a lot of people is open the door.
I had to do that. And someone asked me, you know, I get these stupid messages every 5 or 10 minutes. Mm-hmm. Why are you not dating? You're so beautiful. Why are you not dating? Mm-hmm. And I simply say, because this is my off season. I am healing. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, but why are you not dating? And you understand that when someone asks a question and you give the answer and they ask the question again, mm-hmm. they could never be in your bubble.
No,
they never understand it to a table because they don't understand where you're coming from.
Right.
That situation that I was referring to about this person, mm-hmm. I told them, I said, if you found someone that you feel that is better than me, because of the love that I have for you, mm-hmm. I truly want you to be happy. I hold no grudges. Mm-hmm. I'm not angry. I'm not bitter. Because growth is when you can walk away from someone knowing they never loved you the way that you love them.
Right. So, yeah, I completely get that. You know, it doesn't even matter if I feel that they're meant to be or they feel if they're meant to be. I don't care. I just want you to be happy, because at the end of the day, you are not going to be happy with me, and me, myself, will not be happy with me if you're not happy with me. So I am going to, you know, it's like that. All right, well, I'll be hitting that old dusty trail. And I, you know, I literally have like inside jokes with myself, because I have to say to myself, there is going to be someone who is as healed as I will be at the very right moment that we need to meet each other. There is going to be that person. But until then, I'm going to continue to work on me, to heal myself, to be more present, to be more aware of, you know, when someone is broken and they're in denial and they're in love with someone who, you know, with your ears, they say that they were completely, you know, incompatible. They just weren't great together, but that's the person that you love. Who the hell am I to even intercept that? But I end up walking into something, not realizing that I can never get that love that that person expressed about the other person in their actions. It wasn't their words. It was their actions.
And exactly. My grandmother always said, Peach, actions speak louder than words.
Absolutely. Oh, my God. Yeah, it does.
it speaks louder than words, you know. And I just think about how not once, not twice, but three times I allowed the love that I have for this man to break me down again. And I know that, you know, and it was so, I was looking at him in a different mannerism, because I'm like, this is the same woman that has always said she loved you, that has always said she had your back. I didn't want anything but you. But when you know someone would never love you the way that you do, you set them free.
Yeah,
you don't be angry. I am far from angry. I was angry with myself because I was
disappointed in yourself.
Yes, I was angry and I was disappointed, my beautiful sister. I was angry because I'm like, you've seen this coming, right? But you still allowed the love that you have for this man to break you down again. This man, look what all the stuff he's done to you. And he's not, and even though he apologized for what he did in the past, and I accepted that, I said, okay, but we're grown now. We're like in our 40s, and this is me. Like, this is me. I could never, if I'm not healed, I could never have lay down with a man.
Right.
That I'm not healed. And I'm laying down with you. Right. And I know that when we lay down, we're laying down and you're going into my soul. I'm going into your soul. And we're opening up these gates. I could never do that.
So it's mind-boggling, because this person is an amazing person. I will never take that away from
that
him.
He is. Is this the same person we know?
I refuse to say.
I got you.
But an amazing person, sweet, kind, all those things. But that part that you're tethered to someone, and I allowed your energy and your being to clash with me. And so the point of me completely flushing my system is to try to remove that, because I need to mentally put people in boxes by how they messed with my heart. It's not so much my heart, it's my mind.
And your spirit.
Yes. So, you know, and I was genuine when I said that I wish them all the best with this person. Because I genuinely want them to be happy. However, you cannot be happy until you heal yourself. But if you tell yourself that you're healed, are you though? You know what I mean? Are you? Because I can heal from sugar. I can say I heal from sugar, but then I'm reaching for the first sugary stuff behind closed doors. Are you really healed? I just, you know, I never want anyone to think that this person was a piece of shit. No, he was amazing.
Well, you can tell by the spirit that person hasn't. If I'm thinking and I'm thinking to myself, I always knew this person had a beautiful spirit, the kindness, the soul. That person has a lot of soul.
Yes,
that person has a lot of soul, and that person is a beautiful spirit, but it's a broken spirit.
Yeah, and I can't. So, you know, I have to tell myself, Farah, you have to make sure that you clean them out of your system, because you have to be whole again. And at this point, I am not, because I'm still trying to gather whatever broken pieces, wherever they are. So, you know, I have to gear up to literally lock myself down in a way to heal myself. Being back in that bubble, I felt safe. You know what I mean? It was like, I don't know if you ever saw the this show, this movie called Blast from the Past, where they shut down, they thought it was like an atomic bomb, and so people hid underground, right? People had like bunkers, and they hid underground, and they hid there for 30 years, right? Something around that, along those lines.
Isn't this with Dan Aykroyd?
Brendan Fraser.
Oh, okay.
Right. So, you know, he finally ventured out, and it was like the 80s or the 90s or something like that. And it was just like such a, you know, it was a cruel world, but there, because it was the 90s, they kind of make light of everything. But the truth is, once you kind of lock yourself away and you decide that you want to venture out again and something hurts you, you retract back.
Yeah. And you
retract back to a safe space.
You run. You run back. Mm-hmm. And you run back to a place where you feel free. A place where no one is going to hurt you or lie to you.
No one is going to lie. That's the point. And that's the sad thing is, I can tell when someone is lying to me. I can tell. And deep down, they feel it. You know, they feel like they're telling you something, and then they make the excuse of, I didn't want to hurt your feelings. But you prolonged that shit, so now it hurts even more. Because you know what I mean? Yeah.
Vibes do not lie. And this is what I tell mm-hmm. people. The universe gives out the sound wave. And mm-hmm. And the sound waves tells you everything you need to know. Vibrations, it does not lie. You can feel it in your soul. You can hear the conviction and the vibration when you're mm-hmm. speaking, and you know that it's real. I get it, because I felt the change in the atmosphere with this person, and I mm-hmm. called them out on it. Mm-hmm. I expressed how I always loved them for 25 years. I've always, like 27 years, I've always loved them. Mm-hmm. And I never stopped loving them, and how God brought us back together. I mean, it's so crazy. We have the same prescribed eye lenses. The same, it's like I know this person so well, and yet I don't know him.
Right.
Because if I'm telling you how I feel, and you know I've always been a genuine person, you never would have crossed that line with me, knowing that I was, like I said, I was celibate. Mm-hmm. You know, I wasn't intimate with anyone at that time. I mean, I ain't intimate right now, period, because like I say, I'm healing. But I told you this, and you opened me up. Mm-hmm. You opened up my layers again, because you knew I loved you, and mm-hmm. and you took the very core of me, and you mm-hmm. just snatched it out, mm-hmm. and you just walked away from me. Like, you walked away from me, mm-hmm. the woman that always would have never done you wrong, never mistreated you, would always have your back. You walked away from me, and for what? What did you gain by doing this? What did you gain by opening me up and then leaving? Was it worth it? You know, sometimes you want to say, was it worth it? So now, as you say, we go back into this bubble, right? Mm-hmm. We go back into this bubble. We start gathering the love that we have, mm-hmm. the hope, the joy, the peace, the understanding, the mm-hmm. hurt, because the hurt is a part of the process. Mm-hmm. We start gathering these. You know, you say you build your wall. Me, I'm mm-hmm. writing it down. I'm like building a bridge over troubled waters, because mm-hmm. that's my way of soothing my soul. It's like, okay, I'm going to build this bridge over troubled waters. And mm-hmm. what lessons am I taking out of this, Farrah? Mm-hmm. Like, what lessons am I taking out of this? Lesson one, your past is your past.
Mm-hmm. Leave it there.
Leave it there.
But people don't know how to do that. People don't know how to do that. It's easy for me to let go. And, you know, my ex-husband and I are really good friends because we've been friends since we were kids. So, you know, people kind of feel like, yo, but, you know, you and your ex-husband, you guys act like friends. You guys say, yeah, man. And I, you know, when I call him, I'm like, yo, what up? You know what I mean? Like, and that we talk like that because we've known each other as long as we've been alive. So, you know, I talk to him and we confide in each other. But I also know that he is my ex-husband, right? We shared a life together. We shared a bed together. We shared a house together, and we share a child together. But when I look at him now, and this is what pisses off a lot of guys, after we have gone from that romantic part to that he wants to just be friends type of thing, oh, I will take that just friends to the grave. And so my ex and I, we live conversations, and I look at him and there is nothing sexual about this man who I shared a bed with for over 10 years. I shared a house, I shared a life with this person. I no longer look at him and think anything romantic. And so it happens with anyone that I've dated and it didn't work out. It's never, I never leave that door open for, we can do this again. Because our past is our past. Do I really want to read that chapter?
I learned that in this summer, in this chapter and in this summer, I had to learn. You know, I've always been an enthusiast and I've always been a free thinker and the healer in me and the giver in me. So
you can still be that person without giving yourself physically.
Without giving all of me. Without giving all of me anymore. And I said, okay. So what I did was I forgave him. And I'm like, because I truly love this man with a whole heart, with my mind, body, and spirit. Because I loved him with my mind. I loved him with my body. And I loved him with my spirit. I don't hate him. I really wish him the best in life. Like, I'm rooting for him. I told him, I said, you find someone that you feel that you deem that is worthy. I want the best for you. Because I love you that much. I want you to be happy. Because I know what God has for me, it will not miss me.
Right. So I can never be upset at this person. I can never be upset because I also know how it feels to not know that you need healing and to go back to something thinking, yielding different results. I understand that. And I want him to live an amazing, beautiful life. You know what I mean? But I'm also disappointed in myself that I allowed myself to feel like this person and I could really be. You know, because I knew that he was coming from a place that was still hurt. There was jumbled up things. There were misinformation. There was information that, you know, wasn't aware of. And, you know, these two people, they could be destined to be together. Who the hell am I to be anyone other than just, hey, you know, we may not speak often. We may no longer speak. But I want you to know that I wish you the absolute best. And I don't say that with a sly in my voice. I don't say that with a ill feeling in my heart, in my soul. I legit want him to be happy.
You know,
I want that smile. I want him to be happy. But I want him to heal.
And that's all you can do. Whitney Houston once said in her song, she said, I wish you joy and I wish you happiness. And most of all, I wish you love.
That's right.
And because it's like people don't know that the seeds that you've planted You planted a healing mechanism in this person. You planted true love in this person. And one day that person is going to have an aha moment. And I'm speaking for any and everyone who has ever walked in these shoes that we've walked in. When you plant seeds of goodness in someone, you're sowing, your seeds are the only seeds that's going to save their life. Many people don't believe that, but those seeds that you planted, you're actually saving their life. And because you want the best for them, you have no ill will for them. You want them to heal. It's like, please heal before you come into someone's life, knowing that you're not ready for what they're giving you. You're not ready. And it's very selfish of a person to come into a person's life knowing they're not ready, but they're greedy enough to think that they are.
But you know what it is? It's an opportunity. You're like, oh my God, well, I have this opportunity now. I should take it. Not knowing, hey, I say, you know, go ahead and do what you need to do, and I'll be here. If it was done correctly, that would have been the whole situation. But I don't dwell where I'm not needed. I don't dwell where I'm not wanted. So, you know, I understand, you know, we are able to plant these seeds in people that need it. But I'm running out of seeds, one. Two, you know, they say that a woman should never love a man more than the man loves the woman.
I totally agree. And I said the next
time. And then that's where I knew I messed up.
I totally agree. I had a conversation with one of my good girlfriends. I said the next time I told Bridget, I said, Bridget, and I told Carlicia as well. Hell, I told Christy and Tamara. I told them, I said, you know, and even I told Nicole, I said, hey, you know, the next time a man must love me more than I love him. I said, because, and they were looking at me like, huh? I said, because when I love with all my heart, every fiber. There's no question that if I say I love you, that's liquid gold. That's guaranteed money in the bank right there. That means that I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to have your back. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to sow seeds of love and happiness. We're going to build something together. But you got to love me more than I love you, because all the love that I've given out, it's time for me to receive that love back. I need a man that's going to love me mind, body, soul, and spirit.
You need someone to be in love with you, which in is the message, which is the missing component, because someone can love you but they're not in love with you.
I need someone to be in love with me.
Right. So that's our dilemma, right? We allow ourselves to see past all the red flags of everyone is imperfect. But
sometimes those imperfections are really just totally deep down imperfections. That cuts the soul.
Right.
You know what I mean?
We call them red flags. You know what I mean? We saw them. We saw it. But their soul was so beautiful, and you know that it's so beautiful, and you just want it to grow. You want to help it grow. You want to help it know thyself on so many levels other than just the physical. You want them to feel that, but they can't. They can't, because they're still stuck in this mentality that this is it, right? This is it. And this person and I belong together. Oh, man, dude, that's freak. I don't want to curse, but
you can. It's okay.
It's so fucked up, but it's so like poetically beautiful. Mm-hmm. But what's messed up about it is the fact that I was on the receiving end of a broken heart. You know what I mean? And I try, this is the reason why I lock myself off from a lot of people, because I don't want to break hearts. And I'd rather tell them and let them know, hey, this is strictly a friendship, because I've never had a guy friend that made it from a friend to a lover. Because once you make it known that we're just friends, I listen to that and it clicks. All right, cool. That's my friend. I will do anything for my friend, but I will never with him. I will never kiss him. I will never talk to him dirty. I would never send him pictures. I would never send him dirty texts because that's my friend. And my friend and me, that's how we get down. All of my guy friends. Yeah.
I told that's someone this. I had someone had stated that you be posting too many men. I say those men that you see me posting are my friends. Like those are actually my friends. My good friend Art could tell you she can be in a room full of men that's trying to talk to her, but she just stay to herself. She's watching everyone. She does not go and put herself out like that. That's not me. That's never been me. I've always had more guy friends than I had girlfriends. I guess because when I was younger, you know, I was very tomboyish. You know, I was one of the guys. I was really a girl, but I was just one of the guys, you know. They could tell me their secrets on who they like. You know, I like your homegirl, hook me up, fine, cool,
no problem.
That's not a problem at all,
because you know that there is that cutoff where you're not looking at them. You look at your friends as if they're an extension of your family.
Exactly.
And your family that you get to choose. So, you know, like during, like at the beginning of the week, I was feeling really low, but it turns out I was also not feeling well. But, you know, I was feeling really low, and one of my guy friends from New Jersey, he's a firefighter. And he was like, what's up with you? I was like, what do you mean? And he was like, first and foremost, I'm all the way up here. And I can feel that your energy's set. Mm-hmm. He was like, man, you already crying about Florida? He goes, which dude you messing around in Florida with? I said, first of all, I'm never touching a dude from Florida. And he started laughing. He was like, what happened? And I literally sat on the phone with him for about 2 hours and I told him everything. And he was like, he was the one that told me, a man has to love you more than you love him.
That's right.
And it clicked. I got that from a guy. And you know, we started talking, we met at the gym, and he will always have jokes. And so our relationship started with just the jokes. And then we talked as if we were, you know, two sides of the same coin. So I knew that he was a really good friend and not one that I would bed, not one that would be romantic, but somebody that I will call and I go, hey, I need help. And he's out of his bed in no time. You know what I mean? And he'll call me and say the same thing, and I'm there, no problem. But it's not, okay, so I did this for you, so now you gotta, no. It's never like that. These people became my family. So I think he heard me cry for like the first time. And he didn't even know what to do.
Oprah said it once. She says that, and I always keep that in mind. She says that when you're strong for everyone else, who is going to be strong for you?
Right. Right. I got to be strong for me because at this point, you know what I mean? Like, I have to continue to be strong for me. I have to secure my mask before I secure anyone else's.
That's right.
You know, that conversation that he and I had, but like literally I felt it, because the thing is, I couldn't tell anyone how I was feeling. I went to work and I had to literally put on this face, and you know, I come home and I have my son and I had to put on this face. So I couldn't let myself even like break down. but I was coming undone. You know what I mean? And someone who is over 1,000 miles away felt it. And I'm gonna tell you exactly how he said it. I picked up the phone and he goes, "My nigga, you good?" I was like, oh my God. Cause you know, the thing is, when people hear me speak, sometimes they'll think, oh, she's from New York because of her accent and stuff like that. But when I talk to my friends, especially when they're guy friends and we grew up in the streets, you know what I mean? So we saw a lot of stuff we weren't supposed to see. We did a lot of things we weren't supposed to do. And you know what? A fast forward, 28 years. And, you know, I'm able to say I've grown past that. But when one of my people call me, they talk to me because like that, because that's how tight we are. And he was like, what do you want me to do? I said, you can't do anything. You can't do anything. I have to get this out, one. Two, I have to start healing myself. You know, he goes, what you want me to, you want me to block somebody, block some people? Because what he's trying to say is, do you want me to block people from approaching you? I said, how can you possibly do that? I said, people are going to come out of the woodwork no matter what. That's you know right. what I mean? And I just have to trust myself once I build myself back up and heal again. I have to trust and watch their actions and see if it matches up with their words. And that's what I didn't do. I didn't match their actions with their words, and I didn't listen fully to what they were saying.
Mickey Howard once stated in her song Love Under New Management,
I love that song.
She said, experience is the best teacher. It took someone like me to learn. It takes people like us to learn. We learn these things so we can be more aware and teach others.
Yeah.
Because we're teachers on this earth.
Yeah.
We're healers and we're here to teach. We're here to heal. But also, we must call a spade a spade.
Right.
And we can't keep beating ourselves up about the hurt.
Right.
The pain, the sorrow. We take that mechanism and we say, okay, this is a lesson. And from this lesson, what did I learn from this? This is what I said. I said, what, Kenesha? What did you learn? Nisha D, what did you learn from this, girl? Because that's Kenesha talking to Nisha D. What did you learn?
Right.
I learned that a person will make mistakes. I learned that a person will continue to make mistakes until a person is healed. I learned that a leopard never changes his spots. I learned to forgive.
Right.
Forgive myself. I can't keep beating myself up, because rule of law states that when you are a healer, you're going to attract every type of broken person.
No matter
what form they come in, you're going to attract them, because that is your gift. That is also your healing mechanism.
But because we see the beauty in them first.
Yeah, you see the beauty in them.
Masks it.
You see the beauty in them.
Mm-hmm.
You are here to show them that everyone isn't out to get you. Everyone isn't out to hurt you or to manipulate you or to drag you or to down you. There are people that see the beauty. There are people that also see the scars. And because we see the scars, we see the beauty in the scars. And, you know, and it's probably deep for some, because, you know, it's like, you should go with these metaphors again. But you cannot heal if you're still broken. You can't say that you're healed if you haven't done anything about the brokenness.
You can't
keep approaching, because it's a cycle. We all know that what goes up must come down. That's the rule of law. That's gravity at its best. What goes up must come down. So you keep walking in this universe, and you're walking and you're walking. You're walking in the spiritual realm. You're walking in the fleshly realm. And each realm you're walking in, you're still not healed.
Right.
You're not healed. So you thinking that the flavor is what it is, truly a flavor. And yes, I'm going to be happy for you because this is who you say that you want to be with. This is who you say that you are. But did you know that that person is a damaged spirit too? Two damaged souls can't heal each other.
No. Oh, hold that thought. 2 seconds. I got a quote from, hang on.
Gotcha.
I hope I grabbed the right book. So, listen to this, and I think it's so...
Did I grab the wrong one? I think I did. Yeah, no, I grabbed... Okay, it says here, the people you lose during your healing process are only meant to be with the unhealed version of you. That was by Charlemagne the God.
Oh.
So, let me tell you something about that man. Everyone has jokes on my boy. They got jokes on my boy. They call him gay. They call him all the things. They make fun of his lisp. But let me tell you about the fact that he dropped some gems when you need it most.
Yes, and when he does. I follow it, him.
Yes. I listen to The Breakfast Club, and I listen to it all the time, and I don't, I just listen to it, you know, pull it on YouTube so I get no commercials, but or no music, and it's just you get it. I understand that I'm a healer. I understand that people need to heal before they jump into other situations. But a lot of our defense mechanism is to feed that ego that, you know, we're just like, well, I'm going to try to feed this with something else just so I can forget about this other person. And it never goes right. Never. You know what I mean? It never goes right. So you try, you feed an ego, you completely pull someone who was innocent in this, who just saw someone that they wanted to love, right?
Yeah.
So
pride will cost you your anointing, you know that. Being prideful, it'll cost you, because you're greedy, and you see something, and you see this beautiful flower, and it's the most beautiful flower in the garden, and you want it so bad, and you know that you're not ready to take care of this flower,
right?
And I am not gonna cry tonight.
Don't cry. So one of my favorite,
not gonna cry.
Don't cry, do not cry. We're not gonna do that. I know.
We're not gonna do that.
You're gonna look up to the sky, because you're gonna know that once you start to look up, it dries those tears. You're not gonna cry. So here's a funny situation. So my favorite song is by John Legend called Actions. And he said, here I go again with another love song that I wasted. Just another love run out of patience. She don't want it, she don't need it. Every other word coming from my pen, she threw back in my face saying, where you've been. I sound so poetic, but it feels like I let it slip away. And you know, it's that whole thing of actions do speak louder than words. You know what I mean? And we always overlook, I don't know if it's the euphoria of the feeling that we get when we find someone and they make our heart beat and our stomach flutter and everything, and we just completely become oblivious. Completely. We become babbling idiots. We're like, oh my God, where have you been? And then we don't realize that people need to not just heal their broken relationship with their lovers, they need to heal their broken relationship with family. They need to heal broken relationship with parents, with aunts, with uncles. There is a process. And if you leave one undone, it has a way of breaking and completely messing you up. So you have to start at the root. Why is it so easy for me to walk away from one to the next? Backtrack. What makes me do that instead of let me address what's really going on? Because no one learned how to, you know, these little white kids, and I gotta give it to the white people, because they put their kids in therapy, they put themselves in therapy, and the therapists got therapists. So we over here, we got baggage, and a lot of us have baggage, and a lot of us are broken kids, broken teenagers, and we are grown-ups, and we are still broken teenagers on the inside, broken kids on the inside. Our mentality shows us just how broken we are, but yet we refuse to acknowledge that we're broken.
I always tell people I'm a firm believer of therapy. It's good to, you know,
it did me wonders.
I'm an advocate of therapy. I speak on it quite often that, you know, we as Black people, we as people of color, we need to see someone, not the pastor, not the best friend, not the father, but you need to see someone that will not agree with you. Someone that will tell you about yourself and be so transparent with you. So it's like you looking at the mirror and you see. Betty Wright said once, she says, and I love Betty Wright, God bless her soul. She says, we're all entitled to make a mistake. We got to prepare for some heartbreak. She said while she was earning her man, she was learning her man something these young girls might not understand. She said if it wasn't for the trials she'd been through, she never had the courage to come back. And I always thought about, what did she come back to? Because she said she was earning her man while she was learning her man. And then when I thought about it, coming back to herself, because she had to find herself. While she was earning her man, she was learning him. But in the process, she had to come back to who she was as a woman.
Oh, yeah. And yeah, with my ex-husband, that's what happened. I had to learn him. And you know, I was trying to earn him, right? And I completely lost who I was. Completely lost who I was.
So,
and what I told myself that I would never do that.
So with our final quote of the night, because I will have you back on here. what would you tell someone that is broken, my beautiful sister? What would you tell them? What would you tell them as a healed mechanism? How would you tell them to approach a person that's healed if they're broken?
Don't approach them. If you want their light, if you want their wisdom, if you want their encouragement, do not approach them. Don't. In order to heal, you have to lay all the things that you are out and address the last one of them. And not only address it, acknowledge it, and be able to change. We are all broken.
Looking up.
And some of us have figured out how to heal ourselves. And I know that it's beautiful, and I know that it's bright, and I know you want to touch that light. But just like a flower, don't pick it because it dies, because you don't know how to take care of it. Do not approach. Admire from afar. continue to admire from afar and continue to try to figure out how to heal yourself. Because the way how we're doing it right now, it's not working. Going from partner to partner without even cleansing yourself is already a bad thing. So now that you want to fully heal yourself, you have to learn how to love yourself. Mm-hmm. Not with a partner, not with someone loving you, not with everyone looking at you in adoration, but learning to love yourself and all the broken pieces and all the ugly parts that you have. You have to learn how to love every part of it. And then once you do that, you start to heal. But do not approach someone who's healed, especially if you're broken, because you will cause them to break. That's not good.
That's it.
That's very deep. That's very insightful, my beautiful sister. As always, I appreciate you coming on the show and speaking truth. I love you more and speaking truth and being my soul sister, my soulmate sister, because I feel everything that you said. Mm-hmm. I know you're coming from a place, because that place, my God, y'all listen. Mm-hmm. Once we get back to that place, mm-hmm. it's a lot of work for us.
Yeah. We're
taking on everything that you've done, everything that you said, everything that you didn't say. Mm-hmm. And we got to heal from all that.
Right.
So just be mindful. Heal. Seek healed. Therapy.
Right.
Please go talk to someone.
No one looks at you differently. Please just the beauty of us as people all together. We can be completely helped by having someone that we are able to work our problems with through, and have someone listen to us without bias. And that's why we don't talk to our friends when we have situations like this, because they'll tell you things that, because they want you to be in good standing with them, so they won't tell you the truth. Need to have someone outside of your circle to hear you and to ask you and to challenge you with your mentality, with how you're doing things, because it's reckless. You break things, because all of us are delicate. We cut, we bleed. You know what I mean? There's things that you just can't play. You can't play with people's emotions and heart and spirit. You cannot do that and think that it's going to be okay because you say sorry.
Indeed. Mm-hmm. Well, my beautiful sister, I thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule. I pray you are healed from this life lesson. I speak over you and I both, that we are wiser in our decisions that we make, and we allow someone to love us more than we love them, because that's the key word. They must love us more. Be in love with our spirit, be in love with our minds, our souls. Because it's so important that when they look at us, they truly see us. As always, I thank you. I look forward to having you back on. As always, you drop jewels. You are one of the most intellectual people I know. You're smart. You're kind. You're sensitive. You are authentic. And most of all, you are a healer. Never allow someone to dim that light, my beautiful sister.
Absolutely.
Keep shining bright. Keep rising, because you are a phoenix and you will rise out of this. And this is a lesson that we take and we learn from it, because this is what the universe wanted us to know, that it's okay to love. It's okay to open up, but it's okay to walk away and say, you know what?
Yeah.
I can't do this anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Be blessed, my beautiful sister. Until the sun rises again, I shall talk to you soon.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
You're welcome.